Ron, did you have something more?
Nope, that's it. I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. And this is Lydia when the board members are through.
Okay. Lawrence?
Thank you, Chair. So I really did appreciate Vanessa pointing out that Julie Hewitt's narrative and her analysis was spot on. And I do, referring to Grace's email and document, we have a very attractive real estate portfolio, right, in regards to the property values of the three buildings that that we own, KPFK's building being the most attractive, and then KPFA, and then the property at KPFT. So I certainly I am in favor also of an extension of some sort, and I will leave that up to Arthur and Lydia to determine to what length the extension will be. But I want to mention again, you know, we need to really put, our hand on the dial when it comes to, programming and providing that relevant Peabody Award winning kind of programming that we used to produce and that we used to, get. And we have a lot of talented programmers and producers, that I think of COVID Race and Democracy as being one of the national programs, that have been on the air. And it's a very well done program. Thank you, Paulina and Akua and your crew, for that type of programming. But that's the kind of programming that Tom refers to. And I completely agree with him, is that it has to be part of the plan. And then, so, you know, the audits, I'm on the audit committee, so I'm definitely going to be, conscientious and diligent
Lawrence,
when it comes to. Okay, Heather, thank you. I'm done. Thank you.
Anybody else? Second bite?
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Mr. Chair? Can I be recognized for one brief comment? Something I did forget?
Go ahead.
Regarding a plan, one of the inconsistencies, one of the problems with our financial structure is this inconsistency. This is what one of the arguments that was being made about developing a Pacifica-centric underwriting program. If you can show that, if we can show lenders that, hey, this is we have this program in place where we know what kind of revenue we can expect to generate out of this block of programming at any given time, because those programs will be underwritten in some form or another through a Pacifica, and I say Pacifica centric, not NPR centric. You know, not AMU-centric, Pacifica-centric, one that we develop ourselves that addresses our needs. I think that would go a long way to having to stabilizing some portions, you know, of our revenue. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay.
This is
Jim to the stack, Mr. Chairman.
Jim, and then we'll hear from Lydia. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you. Quick question for the chair, Lydia or Arthur. Has the board appointed our formal representatives to renegotiate the terms of the lease, or is that yet to be decided?
As far as I'm concerned, it's to be decided. I never take, I've learned in a year and some odd that I've been doing this, not to take anything for granted.
No, I was just asking, is this something we're going to do tonight, or when will we do that?
I hope so.
We, We are meeting in closed session, and all kinds of details like that will be dealt with in the closed session.
Thank you.
Okay, Lydia?
15-minute mark, okay.
So in addition to some of the cutting of expenses at units, in particular at one of our more troubled stations, that we have two union contracts that we have been negotiating. It just so happened that they came due this last year and one this year. And we are making some significant structural adjustments in a very humane way. I mean, there were some things that the unit members themselves are not objecting to. So we're very pleased with that. And this also affected the way that we had the two pensions, which every year folks say, why do we have a profit sharing pension when we have no profits? It was always called that. But nevertheless, so we have resolved a number of structural blocks that prevented us from becoming more solvent at our various units. It's kind of what we have accomplished at one unit is serving to help guide us at the other unit where we are dealing with this. So these are kind of the things that we have done so far. Also, lending, banking, and everything in between is going through its own period of reexamination and revamping. Every time there's a scandal, as there was with Bank of America, as was in 2008 with Wells Fargo and so forth, is that you see the advent of a number of smaller banks popping up, and certainly in California, it's a significant movement toward public banking, which in California is a huge windfall of money if it can have its own public banking. And
Lydia, your time is up. I don't know if we need to extend.
I'll just finish the sentence if I might. And those other entities can help us with find ways to deal with loan or aspects of the loan going forward, which is why I favor the larger period of time for the extension, and also some major donor fund drives that I'll explain later then.
Okay. Anybody else on the stack?
Chairman Steinberg, Andrea here. Just a quick question.
Okay.
When we're in closed session, will we be looking at the terms and conditions, specific terms and conditions of the loan?
You can if you want to.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Chair, this is Lawrence. We're at 10 minutes.
Okay.
We have 10 minutes left.
Does anybody else want to speak?
This is Lydia. I'd like to finish, if I may.
Sure.
Okay. And so in speaking to our archives, Pacifica Radio Archives director, we're trying to develop a pattern that can help each station as we go around. But in trying to develop major donor visits, I mean, they can be Zoom, obviously, now, right now. And, of course, what I discovered when I last saw what was a major donor list at KPFK, I would regard that as minor donors, but nevertheless, there are major donors in each one of our signal areas that are untapped. And that is where traditionally board members come in. So I really would like to have the board members, the directors at each station, put their heads together and identify people that may not know that much about Pacifica, that we know because most of us are in different organizations, and we interact with people that we know are very generous in their charitable giving, and that we start with some Zoom meetings and we'll start with some training of how to conduct some of that and so on and so forth. So Mark Torres and I are starting to work on that, because that's why I stressed having being able to identify the underpinning collateral so that we can peel it off incrementally and raise money for each of those collateralized underpinnings.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else want to contribute? If not, we can bring this part of the meeting to a close. Okay, then we'll move on then. I think we need a motion to exit the quasi-committee of the whole and return to our agenda. Can I have such a motion?
Chair, this is Lawrence. So move.
Okay. Can we get a second?
Second, Turner.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay.
Chair?
Yeah.
Do we stay in this room, or do we connect to a different link?
We're not finished with the meeting.
We have committee reports.
We just left the quasi-committee of the whole, and we're resuming the agenda.
Got you. Sorry. I was ahead in the agenda.
Yeah. Okay. okay. So the next item on the agenda are the committee reports.
What's the time for that, Chair?
The time for that is a couple of 40 minutes. It'll be 30 minutes for the report from the Strategic Planning Committee. And then there's two smaller reports from the Ad Hoc Loan Committee and from the Development Task Force.
That's a total of 40, right, Chair?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So let me find the right document here.
Mr. Chair, the parliamentarian would like to ask you a question.
Yes, go ahead.
You just came out of Committee of the Whole, and you have to report what happened in the Committee of the Whole. So the question I have for you is, did you approve a five-year extension, or what actually
no.
you reported?
No, we did not take any action. We just discussed.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you say that too when you report out. There's a discussion of the loan. That's a report out from the committee.
Okay, so that requires a separate report out.
A report out to the whole board. The whole PNB. You're reporting to the PNB.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay, thank you. Okay. So we have this motion from the Strategic Planning Committee. It's been sitting there for a while, and it's directly relevant to the loan. And I sent you all an amended version, because some of the original motion that came from the Strategic Planning is a little bit out of date. Plus, I made a few stylistic corrections, so it reads a little better. So, do you all have the document with the corrected version? It was mailed out a little bit before.
Chair, this is Lawrence. May I ask a question?
Sure.
So you're referring to the second email that you sent after the initial plan that you have sent before your second email. Okay.
Right.
And can you put that in the chat? And I don't know if it's a fair question to ask whether we should read it for the benefit of the stream.
I could share the screen. I don't know how I could put it in the chat. It's kind of long, but I could share the screen if you want.
That's
should
fine.
I do that? Let me do that. That might be easier for everybody. Mm-hmm. sitting chair. And
okay, I started time, Chair.
Okay, can you see it now?
Yeah.
Okay, so the proposal has a preamble, and the preamble refers to the section of our bylaws that define the identity and purpose of the Pacifica Foundation. I'm not going to read that part. It's not really part of the motion. It was just put in there as documentation because I wanted to make it clear that any strategic plan, any kind of financial recovery plan we adopt has to be in conformity with our identity and our mission. Otherwise, we're not a chain of hotels. You know, we're a little different. Okay, so I won't read the preamble. Let's just go to the strategic plan. And just to make it clear, in this document, the parts that are in red are either put in there after the initial motion was adopted by the Strategic Planning Committee, or they're meant to highlight, make it easy to read, okay? So I'm going to just read it as it stands. Are there any objections if I do it that way rather than going back to the original motion and then having it amended and all that? I mean, it'll just be very time consuming. Is that all right? Okay, I'm not hearing any objections, so I'll proceed. Okay. The strategic plan, there are three parts. Well, actually there's four, but I'm only listing three here. Number one, there's an emergency strategic plan. There's an emergency strategic plan that addresses financial matters only. There's a short-term strategic plan, a medium-range strategic plan, and a long-range strategic plan. The motion itself is only going to deal with the first three items, the emergency strategic plan, the short-term plan, and the medium-range plan. The long-range strategic plan is, of course, ongoing, but we are not going to try to pass a motion on that tonight. So what we're calling the emergency or the immediate strategic plan, the goal is to immediately address deficits at the station. Because of COVID-19 and unaddressed declines in listener support at all five stations, here is a suggested very short emergency plan to keep Pacifica afloat. Number one, start immediately to make expense cuts at all stations where expenses exceed revenue. The IED should oversee this and place this as a top priority. Immediate emergency action is needed. The IED and the GMs and the PDs and the governing bodies must prioritize the crisis of listenership and submit a unified plan to rebuild our listener base. KPFK's expenses are exceeding its income by approximately $70,000 to $90,000 per month. The National Board directed expense cuts be made of at least 30% at KPFK. The IED and the KPFK general manager should place this as the first priority immediately. The IED should address shortfalls at all the other stations. This is urgent as there are no reserves to cover any shortfalls. Number two, the IED and ICFO should ensure that any further PPP funding or other similar loans or grants are tracked and applied for as soon as possible. Number three, all other fundraising efforts emanating from the national office should be continued if they are cost effective. But the first two should take priority over any other efforts. That is the keeping track of deficits and applying for the PPP fund. And by the way, some of these goals have already been met. Remember, this text was written some time ago. Okay, follow-up. Pacifica Management, that's the IED and ICFO, together with the Pacifica National Board, should monitor progress on reducing shortfalls on a weekly basis. A report from the IED and ICFO should address this on at least a monthly basis. Okay, that's the immediate emergency plan. Short-term strategic plan goals, addressing the loan. Expense cuts should be continued so that income meets or exceeds expenses at every Pacifica unit. One, careful attention should be paid to any financial shortfalls at any station or unit. If any shortfalls occur, action should be taken rapidly to mitigate them. Two, the IED and Pacifica Council should finalize negotiations to extend the $3.2 million loan as soon as possible and get that extension approved by the Pacifica National Board. Follow-up. Report back from legal counsel Arthur Schwartz and interim executive director Lydia Brisson on progress in negotiating / extending the loan. This is due on March 4th, 2021. If an extension refinance of the loan is not completed by March 4th, 2021, the PNB will meet an emergency session to decide upon options. Okay. Medium-term strategic plan goals. A medium-term, the main goal is to restore CPB funding. Number one, ensure the budgeting process is moving forward and that all requests for financial information from NEDA and our auditor are responded to rapidly so that the 2019 audit is completed as quickly as possible. This is important as it will make it easier to refinance the $3.2 million loan and to eventually get CPB funding restored. It should be noted that our East Coast stations have gotten in the past significant CPB funding as they have qualified for special minority grant funding. Any deficits that those stations carry would be ameliorated if CPB funding is restored. A, the IED should work with NEDA staff to determine sources. Obviously, that should include the ICFO. I'm sorry I left that out. The IED and ICFO should work with NEDA staff to determine source of bottlenecks and inaccuracies in financial reporting that jeopardize timely financial reporting and rapid compliance to NEDA and auditor requests for information. If station or unit staff are slowing the process down, this should be documented and filed in the personnel file of any staff member who is not compliant. B, ensure that every station has a functioning community advisory board. C, ensure that all meetings, community advisory board, LSB, PNB, PNB committees, etc., are properly noticed. Follow-up. The medium-term goal is to restore CPB funding. We can apply for CPB funding if our audits are up to date by June 2021. That means the 2019 and 2020 audits must be completed by then, as well as compliance with other CPB requirements. Get monthly reports from NEDA and auditor and weekly reports as deadline draws closer. Okay, that is the motion, and I'm going to ask for a second since this was not the vanilla form of the motion that came out of the committee. So can I get a second on that?
Chair, hello, Lawrence seeks recognition, Chair.
Yes, Lawrence.
I'd like to move it forward. I second.
Thank you.
Chair, okay. This is Ali.
Hold on. I'm going to open up the floor for discussion on this motion. I'm taking a stack. Ali, do you want to be on the stack?
Sure. I have a quick question.
Okay. Go ahead, Ali.
Is this strategic recovery plan proposal for public, or is this considered closed document?
We're in open session. This is a public document.
Okay. Sorry. I just got here, just catching up. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, point of personal privilege from Foley 9. I know I'm not on the board, but
Alina, what is the issue?
I believe Dwayne was kicked off the stream, is having a hard time getting back on. FYI, just so that you know.
I'm back. Thank you.
Oh, you're back. Great. Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Okay. So who else wants to be on the stack? Lydia, Anita, do you want to comment on this? Either of you?
I mean, the only comment that I would like to say is that we're meeting weekly with the auditors. I think the date that they had given us that they could finish up the 2019 audit is in April. So that is the date that we're going for. We are starting to work on the 2020 audit, have started. So I'm hoping that we can essentially do a handoff almost at the same time that the 2019 audit is completed. They would have the 2020 from us, trial balance and what have you, schedules.
And as I explained, I know some of the goals we outlined here have already been met.
Right.
But others are yet to be met, obviously. But okay, Lydia, did you want to
I think only that we should schedule on our agendas, on our open agendas, some of these elements. So, for example, we have a CPB officer in Otis, and that, you know, when we should allow him to report, for example, that's just one example. So this should be a more global effort so that we can hear from the parties that are actually involved. I've been trying to do that in relation to some of our counsel in closed session and so on and so forth, so that it's not always coming three people down away from the original source. That would be my recommendation. And also, but I agree with it, and I think having some benchmarks with specific dates is very useful.
Yeah, and we can, as we go along, we can add to some of the benchmarks. We can build on them later.
Of course.
Okay. Arthur, do you want to say anything on this? Okay. I heard Lawrence wanted to be on the stack, so I'll take him.
Ron wanted to be on the stack.
Chris on the stack.
And Julie.
Okay, I heard Ron, I heard Julie, and somebody in between I didn't catch.
Chris. Chris, please.
Oh, Chris. Ron, Chris, Julie. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. So I think it's critical to for the chair or the officers or the secretary to communicate with the chairs and the secretaries or the officers of the other SPs. And I know Beth Van Guten at KPFK has been trying to revive the community advisory boards. And I from what I understand, there's only possibly three stations, I think PFW, KPFT and WBAI, that have community advisory boards. And I think that's, it's very critical, it's one of the critical areas in order for us to, KPFA does too. Thank you, Chris. It is very critical for us to be able to communicate and, begin to develop that muscle, so we can have, representative, community advisory boards to fulfill the community function that the CPB looks at in order to restore that funding stream. So I think that's one of the things that needs to be done, and I'm hoping that, you know, a communication could be sent out in conjunction with you, Chair, and the Vice Chair and the Secretary to the LSB chairs to encourage the kind of work that Beth is doing at KPFK to bring together a community advisory board, because that's very important. CPB funding is about 10 to 15% of once we had it for station funding. So I think that's a critical piece. Thank you.
This is Lydia.
Lydia, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we should probably distribute the current CPB guidelines relative to community advisory boards. They've obviously changed since I was on one. And because in the past, the LSBs were not permitted to help organize the advisory boards and so on and so forth. So there is criteria there, and maybe Otis can send us the latest on it so that everybody is up to date on what to do. We always used to have, I apologize to the new members, we used to distribute orientation books at one time, trying to catch up on those kinds of regular processes as well.
That's a very good idea. Yes, we did. Yes, we absolutely have to take care of all of these details. It's not only catching up on our audits. Remember, we have to be compliant with CPB in terms of having a CAB, making sure all our meetings are properly noticed, and so on and so forth. Okay, so next on the stack is Ron. And then Chris.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I have a question about one of your follow-ups, Alex. Follow-up, your first follow-up. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Can I be heard? Okay. The follow-up says that Pacifica Management, the IED, the ICFO, together with the PNB, should monitor progress in reducing shortfalls on a weekly basis. I was just wondering about the weekly basis. That, do you know what form that would take? Would the PNB be getting reports somehow on a weekly basis to accomplish this, or is just a wish list?
We could get reports. Some the stations who are using the Allegiant software that's capable of providing reports on a daily basis on fund drives, for instance, and whether we're meeting the goals of fund drives and things like that. So that's not hard to get. At least for those stations who have that software in place, it's not hard to get weekly reports. At least as far as that goes.
Yeah, my question was, who's going to put those reports together for the PNB? On a weekly basis.
Well, we're talking about verbal reports. Basically, we're not. The idea was we'd get monthly written reports and week, and they'd be like a monitoring on a week by week basis, but we're not expecting written reports every week. That's a bit much.
It does and it doesn't, because you're talking about verbal reports. Well, who gets the verbal reports? It says the PNB. So is it a committee of the PNB that's going to get these verbal reports? I'm just saying. I'm not saying information is not necessary, or anything like that. I'm just thinking about the logistics of providing the information to the PNB. That's all.
This is Lydia.
Lydia?
Yes, so hopefully a member, maybe Ron, will change that to monthly, because you don't get a good overview. I mean, I know I deal with crises at one particular station at any given moment, right? But I regularly check with our controller, with Tamara, on who hasn't paid their central services, who isn't, is anyone not making payroll. All of that is just part of the everyday working of things. What we need to do at every monthly meeting, which is the normal meeting the first week of the month, not the special meetings, once a month, is to have a list, which we can certainly get from Tamara, is where are we with the central services in arrears or any other issues that may be coming up. I know that I am going to start more aggressively sending things out to special committees. I've run in for the whole past year. I've run into many, many problems having to do with contracts, things that were that people thought was a great idea for fundraising. Mobile Cause comes to mind, and then it nobody's using it, you know, or one station is using it, but we get a huge bill. We just got an Allegiance bill for $27,000. There are three stations using it, two are not, one won't. And, but, you know, contracts that predated me. So all of those issues, we need, to include in that report and also send it out to the specific committees to help, break all of that down. Elections are coming up. You know, breaking all that down per station, the petition, all of that, those are all new figures. But once a month, to me, at that first regular meeting is where we should deal with it. And so hopefully someone will amend it. That's my
Lydia, yeah, with all due respect, Lydia, I think we need written reports on a monthly basis, but I think we need communication between the IED and the ICFO and the officers of the PNB on a weekly basis. That has to happen because we're in, and I know both you and the ICFO are monitoring things not only on a weekly basis, but you're actually monitoring it on a daily basis.
That's correct.
Jane, please confirm this email that I'm sending to you that this is what you are looking for.
Mr. Tatum, you're please mute yourself. We heard that. So I think we need to establish a line of communication between the ICFO and the IED and the board officers, and perhaps joined by the chairs of the finance committee.
I recommend that you be more specific then. What do you want it? I just laid out some of the things that I asked for. If you want something else, then Anita, I guess, can communicate it to Tamara. She's the one that gets all of those, figures.
Okay.
And so that's what I'm saying. Otherwise, it's meaningless. And then what does that do? I'm kind of at a loss, but if you can articulate that in a motion.
Well, what that does is it tells those of us who are not swimming in all this stuff on a daily basis, gives us an idea of what progress or lack of progress is happening more than, I think, knowing this once a month is just not sufficient given the critical situation we're in.
We don't see movement from anyone else on a monthly basis, so I don't see how that would improve on a weekly basis, but go ahead, give it a shot. I don't oppose.
Yeah, I mean, we could be more specific, but I don't really think that has to be put into a motion. I'm sure we could work out something informally. I mean, I don't see the need to put it in a motion. Anita?
Yes, I just wanted to add, I kind of agree with Lydia on this. If I could have more specifics, I mean, are we wanting to track cash? Are we wanting to track how the pledge is going? At, you know, what is the bank balance at every station? How is revenue tracking? Those are the information that we would need in order to put it together. And yes, Lydia, Tamara would put it together. But we don't know actually from week to week sometimes how a station is doing. We can try it.
Lawrence to the side chair.
Yeah, Lawrence. Wait a minute. No.
Somebody ahead of me. There was a couple of people ahead of me.
There are other people ahead of you. Sorry. I think Chris was next.
I was. Thank you. I like this plan generally speaking. It's short on specifics, but I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. If we were to drill down and put in every possible specific, the motion would be like a book So I don't think that that's appropriate either. But just to be more specific in my critique, I think maybe a follow-on motion that would direct the individual stations to come up with a list of how to prioritize exigent budgetary circumstances for their stations would be really good. Just demanding that a station bring revenue into balance with expenses is probably not enough guidance. They should have a plan in place so they don't have to react to that situation should it happen to them, that they'll know what to do before it ever arises. I'm not suggesting that that become part of this proposal. I'm suggesting that maybe a follow-on motion would be a good idea. Anyway, that was it. Thank you.
I agree with you, Chris. I think that is a good idea. Okay, Julie.
Yeah, there's a slight, one thing I wanted to point out about the motion is it starts out by saying that there's three parts to the plan, but it actually lists four, and that's probably because we needed to add the emergency part, right? So that's just a minor little edit. And there's a little bit of a kind of...
So let me just clarify that before you go further.
Sure.
There are, the fourth part of the plan is the long-term planning. We don't have a long-term plan in this motion.
That was going to be part of my question, too.
Yeah.
So then back to so before I get to that one, the other point I was going to make was there was a little bit of a circular logic to this in the sense that, you know, it's like the reason we're doing this plan is because this is an important part of what we need to do to go to FJC and negotiate an extension. But part of what the plan says is we're going to negotiate an extension with FJC. So I just wanted to note that. So, but the other thing is, because it doesn't include the long-term part, you know, should we say something about how soon the long-term part, the fourth part, you know, when it's forthcoming? Because I think that might be the kind of thing that, you know, goodness, we've made a lot of progress, right? We have miles to go, but we really have made some progress. And so I think what the document needs to do to convince FJC that this is a good strategic plan is not just have the first three parts, but also say, and here's when we're going to deliver, you know, the fourth part, which is the longer term plan. Not here's what it's going to say, but here's when we think we're going to have this together. Thanks.
Not a bad idea. Okay. Anybody else?
This is Paulina with a question as well. After Lawrence.
Okay. Lawrence, then Paulina can ask her question.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm in agreement with Chris Corey in regards to if it's not documented, it never happened, right? So I think there has to be somewhere, and maybe this is just my labor background, but there has to be somewhere where something is memorialized, right? And it's on record just in case we need to produce a record of it. So a simple motion will be sufficient. Would definitely satisfy me in regards to memorializing what we want to do in order to be transparent about to those entities that we have to be responsible to. So I just wanted to share that because I think, you know, if something's not documented, then it never happened. There's no record of it. So a simple motion would go a long way. Thank you.
Do you want to... Do you want to propose an amendment to add to this?
Not at this point. I'm still chewing on it, okay. So to speak. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
Paulina asked for, I may, right?
Paulina.
Yeah, I was just curious. How was that deadline of March 4th set for... Lydia and Arthur to meet with FJC.
I don't know if anybody can answer that at this point, but if Arthur is here, he could try to answer it.
I'm here. Sorry, I was semi-listening because you weren't in the closed. I'm semi-listening because you weren't in the closed session yet. What was the question?
We're asking for a report back on the progress of negotiation with the FJC by March 4th, which is next Thursday, when we're having our regular meeting. And we're going to, if we don't have a fully worked out agreement at that point, we're considering going into emergency session of the National Board to figure out what to do.
Alex, I think you just answered my question, Mr. Chair.
You want a report in a week? I raised this in January?
Yeah. This is Lydia.
Speak your mind, man.
Can we discuss this in executive session, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
We'll take that up.
And I'm with Arthur on this one.
Okay. All right. Well, we definitely want to report back in a week. I'm not necessarily a prophet as to what the report will say.
I mean, first of all, I have to hear what you guys say later.
Mm-hmm. Right, same.
And then make a proposal, and then try to set up a meeting. It's not going to, all that's not going to happen between now and next Thursday.
I agree. Again, if we can please discuss this in closed session.
Okay.
Dwayne Lark to stay.
Okay, Mr. Lark.
Just want to put on the record that KPFT has had a robust CCAP in the last 3 to 4 years, so robust that it has presented and proposed 2 or 3 written reports that has been forwarded to the PNB, of course the LSB, that has not been acted upon. So I just want to give them credit, much spearheaded by P.K. McCary and others. They need to be recognized and on record for the commitment that they've made to facilitate and be consistent with the CPB requirements as it relates to KPFT. In fact, it's one of the most productive elements of KPFT, its CAP.
Okay, maybe somebody wants to propose a small amendment to this. To remove that March 4th due date and just say this is due shortly or something like that.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
As soon as possible.
Okay, Lawrence, you want to make an amendment?
Yeah, I think Ron just took the words out of my mouth, as soon as possible, sort of leaving the date open. This way we're not completely tied into putting ourselves in a box that we can't get out of.
True.
So I would agree with Ron Pinchback on that.
So let's get some language. We would like a report back on the negotiations as soon as possible, something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, Chair.
Yeah.
Do you want me to send that? Do you want to send it in writing, Ron, or you want me to do it?
Go ahead and send it because I'm not available to the keyboard.
All right, Chair. I'll put it together and send it to you right now. I'll send it to the secretary, 49.
Okay.
Julie, to the stack.
Hold on. We need a second for that amendment.
Oh. Second it.
Okay. Good. We're speaking on the amendment now. Julie?
Yeah, the thing that I would also suggest for the amendment is maybe to change that second date. The March 4th appears twice, and I think we need to give ourselves a deadline where if we haven't heard by some point, you know, like the middle of March, we're going to have to go into emergency session. And so I just didn't want that to, we got to give ourselves a date that makes that work.
We will definitely deal with it. I don't know if we need to put a date in this motion itself, though. We're not going to be asleep at the switch.
That's fair. Thanks.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Ron.
Regarding an earlier discussion we had about who's to receive these weekly reports, I'd like to put it before the board as to whether we should be a little more specific about who on the PNB is to receive those weekly reports. Otherwise, should all PNB members expect to receive those reports? I know there's some members who would probably be interested. So, you know, my question is, do we need to offer some specificity on the who, as to who, as a logistical matter, or just say that, you know, that these reports will be made available to all the board members?
We could certainly do that. I don't know if we need to put specific language into the motion to say that, but we could certainly do that.
Here's what I'm talking about. If those reports only go to the officers, there may be some board members who say, well, I didn't agree to that. You know, there was never an agreement. That's not in the language.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
again,
so.
We're not talking about written reports. We're talking about a 10-minute phone conversation or something.
This is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
Yeah, I think we are talking about a written, not report in with a lot of verbiage. It's like once it's delineated what you want, as Anita pointed out, do you want bank balances every week? Do you want bank balances as expenses? As soon as somebody can define for us what's supposed to go in there, then it would just be like an email.
Okay,
could certainly go to the full board, but I agree with Ron that it should be in the language. As soon as somebody decides what you want in that, I think setting up a weekly phone call for that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, what we can do right now to get around this is we can delete the language about weekly reports until we get more clarity about exactly what those weekly reports should be reporting on and who they're distributed to. But I don't think we have the time to do that right this minute.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I submitted the motion. As soon as possible, I inserted in 3 weeks. Is that acceptable to the body?
That's not what we agreed on.
Okay, well, then disregard that. Delete that part. Yeah.
That might be a little too late.
So delete that.
Yeah.
Paulina and Marianne, if you could delete that. Marianne, I don't have your email address, so I'm hoping that Paulina could forward it to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's dispose of this first, and then we'll deal with the other issue. Is there any objection to removing the reference to March 4th and just simply replacing it with as soon as possible? Are there any objections to that? Okay, so that amendment passes. So now let's go to the other issue then that Lydia brought up. We can, let me find a language. Hold on.
Chair, we have 30 seconds on this agenda item.
Okay, can we get an extension for like 5 minutes? I think we're almost done. We need maybe another 5 minutes. Somebody want to make a motion to extend for 5 minutes?
Motion to extend for five.
Okay, are there any, can we get a second?
I'll second.
Okay, are there any objections? Okay.
Okay, I'll reset the time.
Okay, so maybe somebody wants to make a motion, this language here where it says follow up, this is on the, emergency strategic plan follow up. Pacifica management, IED, and CFO together with the PMB should monitor progress on reducing shortfalls on a weekly basis. Why don't we just delete on a weekly basis at this point? From that sentence.
I move that that amendment or that language be stricken and accepted.
Okay, can we have a second on that?
Sean will second.
Okay, are there any objections to that? Okay. I mean, we may have to come back to this to work out some details here, but for now I think this is okay. All right. Is there any other discussion on? We're back now to the main motion. Is there any further discussion on the main motion?
All right. I have this fucking endless night. I'm on a board meeting at the Pacifica Foundation.
Arthur, mute yourself.
are you like actively participating?
That's an intentional mistake.
Arthur, please mute yourself.
Yes, I will. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. So if there are no objections, will the main motion as amended is approved. And we have a few minutes to hear from the loan committee and the loan task force and the development task force. Do we have any report from the loan task force? We don't. Okay. What about the development task force? Is there any report from the development task force?
Yeah, there's a report from the loan task force. I believe the new members on the board was not aware of what may have been previously reported. So I take an opportunity to bring them up to date. The loan task force was tasked with coming up with ideas about how to pay the loan forward. And then at about the third meeting, there became some ambiguities about the mandate, and it only had three meetings, of which the last one was about 4 to 5 weeks ago. Initially, there were suggestions made and was to be brought forward with the original mandate of ideas of how to create methodologies, that is, in translation, raise money to pay the loan off. Initially, one of the ideas that Lyndon spoke about earlier tonight was or is a concept of bonds. As I stated to the group last year, churches have done this for probably 50 to 75 years and how they were able initially to fund building their new facilities. It's gone out of vogue, most especially now because churches can get traditional funding. But in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, most churches were built with members or community stakeholders actually buying bonds and being paid a small fee or a small residual, and subsequently the bonds at some point being converted, and they're getting their monies back. As I stated, Lyndon has not come up with a plan, so it is an idea still, but it's not been discounted by most folk. But yet, as I said, having been involved in them 20 years ago, they've lost their appeal. The other idea was national fund drives. of which Lydia has had one in the last few months. I know for a fact it was pretty much a two-person effort, and if we were to get behind such an action with 22 board members, I'm sure we would be able to raise more than $10,000 or more, and I'm sure she would agree to that as well. I don't believe there was a whole lot of buy-in. I do know that Lawrence was one of the board members who committed $250, and she could speak more to that, developing such a concept as a national fund drive, not a one-day fund drive, but a national ongoing fund drive. My idea is a multimedia fund. As you know, some have over the years have had radiothons and telethons. Well, we have at least four platforms that we should be able to leverage and have a multimedia-thon that would include perhaps talents and other types of appeals that people would be willing to tap into, listen to, view, and send donations in if it was interesting enough. Another idea I suggested is that Pacifica stock, much like Woodstock. One of the advantages Pacifica does have is that while I argue it doesn't have a brand, it certainly does have 50 years or more of presence in the national scene, and it has five stations in some of the largest media markets in the nation. And I believe that it could, with hard work and buy-in with at least half of the board, a Pacifica stock in the vein of Woodstock at one of our cities certainly could raise tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, with some of the artists that's already been on Pacifica. That would include all hues and all brands of music and performances. And, of course, some of the more controversial concepts that were discussed in these three meetings were signal swaps. Very controversial, but yet I've said it and I'll continue to say it. All options ought to be on the table and discussed, ferreted out, vetted. And signal swap is certainly one of the most controversial. And then even more controversial than that has been a lingering proposal called MNN out of New York that gets a lot of pushback and a lot of animosity and other things. Again, some of you have never heard of these things, but they are options that need to be discussed and vetted properly and come up with a plan of what works, what can you agree on and move on it. And then, of course, asset conversions. Another controversial idea. In fact, I've been called to the carpet at KPFT by the treasurer and a few other folk suggesting that I can clandestinely has made an effort. But I've been very open and very forthright about the fact that KPFT sits on $1 million or $1.5 million of land, and the building is worth about 10 cents. And yet others want to spend money on a 1930 building that certainly cannot sustain itself and is not sustainable. But that is an option that one could consider in converting that into cash and doing some build outs for KPFT and then having that money to pay down on the loan and even operating capital for the national office. Finally, crowdfunding, which is something that I've brought to the table as well. Some you may be familiar with, may not be familiar with. Some of the more popular platforms of crowdfunding, if you don't know what crowdfunding is, it's basically a sophisticated way of begging for money with people who have it, as opposed to begging for money as we do on airs with folk who barely can pay their bills or certainly don't want to give more than they're giving. And that would be Indiegogo, Kickstarter, and several other crowdfunding platforms that raise tens and hundreds of millions of dollars a day for different outlets and different forms of organizations like ourselves. And there are other unknown, less known, like Rocket Hub and Crowdwise. Finally, creating an affinity relationship with different groups that have been suggested locally as well as nationally. We got a lot of national groups that can identify with our mission. We identify with their mission. Sierra Club, you can just host the names of them, offering them an access to our airways, and in turn, they helping raise funds to sustain us, I think, is some of the most non-controversial approaches, the last few that I stated. But that is not a complete report, but for the sake of time, we'll stop there.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I seek recognition as a timekeeper. Yeah, we are the time, Chair. Yeah, we are the time.
And we have to adjourn this meeting because we still have a closed session. So can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Chair. This is Lawrence.
Okay. Can we have a second?
Second, this is Ali.
Okay. Any objections? Okay, we're going to go into, we're going to take a 3-minute break and then resume in closed session.